Leo Evangelista got two ballots in the mail in the last few weeks.
I voted for our U.S. Congress, and then I just voted for the Philippine president, you know.
Evangelista is a dual citizen. He's lived in Anchorage since the early 90s and has worked as a mail carrier for more than 25 years. It's a common job for Filipinos in Alaska.
The family always said, you want to be a nurse or you want to be a mailman?
His wife works for the post office, too. They didn't mess around when they sent their ballots to the consulate in San Francisco. They added extra postage and sent them priority. He's not too worried, though. His candidate, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., is expected to win. Even if you're not following Philippines politics closely, that name is probably familiar to you. Marcos Jr., the candidate, goes by his childhood nickname, Bongbong. He's the son of Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos. His father ruled the Philippines from the mid-1960s to the mid-1980s, part of that time under martial law. Evangelista is like so many Filipinos who left the country either during the Marcos regime or shortly after. It was a very tumultuous time in the Philippines. He says life is better in the U.S. because there are jobs.
Opportunity. That's why I moved here, you know.
But life is better in the Philippines, too, he says. It's cheap and warm. And besides, it's home. He hopes that under the leadership of another Marcos, the country will continue to become more like how he remembers it. He plans to move there as soon as he retires. On the Friday night before the election, Rochelle Solanoy is driving around Juneau, picking up three of her girlfriends to go get Filipino food at a restaurant in the valley.
And we're celebrating because Bongbong is going to win.
In 6.5 years, she'll retire from her state job. She's also planning on moving back.
Because when you go home to the Philippines, you feel like a queen. You know, your money stretches.
She's excited about Marcos's promises to keep cleaning up the cities, to keep building infrastructure, and to build a new economy. She dreams of a big reunion in the Philippines, a homecoming for all the overseas workers. The older people will retire on the beautiful beaches. The younger people will finally have jobs there and be reunited with families some of them have never met. But Solanoy wasn't always a Marcos supporter. She left the Philippines in 1981 when she was still a kid, but she went back to visit in 1986. She was a teenager, and she says she got caught up in the revolution to unseat Marcos.
And I kind of like listened to them. I mean, they portrayed Marcos to be the dictator. Of course, I believe all of that.
But she has since relearned the political history of her country. She says she's still learning through YouTube videos. In these videos, the years of martial law in the Philippines are now remembered as the golden years. And Marcos is remembered as a philanthropist. This narrative has emerged from the intentional spread of misinformation on social media. But Solanoy thinks she was lied to for 30 years.
That's why I was like, oh my God, I was so stupid. A lot of people are thinking that way now. So we want Marcos back.
When Marcos wins, and she's confident he will, she's going to the Philippines.
I want to go visit him. I want to go to Malacañang, and I'm going to like really talk to him because...
Malacañang is the presidential palace. She wants to talk to him in person and make sure that there's a place for her and her friends to return to after 30 years away. In Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton.